How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it.
Brilliant, Adrian. Thank you very much for reading. If you've not met, my name is Richard Dreimer, vicar in the Paddington area. I used to work in finance for 15 years before doing that, and I'll speak for about 20 minutes and then just open up for some questions. We'll be done by 1:45. I guess if you were to ask many people today what religion is about, people would say it's a kind of reaching out into the unknown, seeking God, seeking some kind of spiritual enlightenment in an attempt to find meaning or purpose or hope or some kind of self-understanding. And that'd be true for the traditional religions like Christianity. It would be true for people reaching out for some kind of vague spirituality. I think it's also true, actually, for the atheist trying to build a narrative for how the world around them works. And so in many ways, when Philip asks this question of verse 8, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. That is the question that people have been asking throughout the ages. We want to see God. And if it's a big question, then Jesus' answer is pretty punchy as well. He says, I've been with you so long and you still don't know me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? In other words, Jesus says, I am one with the Father. Look no further. And that's kind of the big point I want us to grasp today, is that to know Jesus is to know God. So twice in these verses, Jesus says, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. In other words, there is an intimacy, a closeness, a oneness between God the Father and God the Son. This is the heart of the doctrine of the Trinity. Two distinct persons, but one in character and purpose and mind and essence and being, such that to know Jesus is to know God himself, and now the search for God is over. The language that Jesus uses to describe this is the language of indwelling. He says, the Father dwells in me and does his work. I know Gareth isn't with us this lunchtime because he's moving house. And I don't know if you've had that experience of moving house. And when you turn up at the beginning, the house is just an empty shell. And you walk around it and your footsteps echo off the bare walls. But when you move in, well, you bring all your stuff with you. You bring your family, your flatmates. And now if someone walks into the house, it's no longer an empty shell. But immediately they begin to see your stuff. They meet you. They get to know you from the word go. Well, that is the language here, that language of indwelling. Between Jesus and the Father, it's not a formal, cold business association, but they dwell within each other. So if I want to know God the Father, I come to Jesus, and as I get to know him, I'm getting to know the Father, because they are one with each other. Now, interestingly, here Jesus talks about the Father living in him. Last week, we saw Jesus talk about living in his Father's house as heaven, as saying that was the place where he belongs. You get this sense of this language of Jesus saying, I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. To know Jesus is to know God. And this is pivotal. Jesus is not claiming here to be a holy man or a wisdom teacher or a messenger of God, but to be God himself, one with the Father, the Word made flesh. It's a pretty big statement. I mean, if we've God our Old Testaments in our mind. We may remember that moment where Moses says to God, I want to see your glory. And God says, you can't. You'll die. You can only see my back. Remember when Isaiah sees God's glory and he's terrified. As Philip says to God, show me your glory, to Jesus, you would expect Jesus to rebuke him. And he does. But not because it's a bold request. He rebukes him because he should know already that he is one with the Father. Have I been with you so long, Philip, and you still do not know me? In other words, the search is over. Philip need look no further. And the same is true for us. If we want to see the character of God, if we want to find blessing in God, if we want to understand the purposes of God, to know Jesus is to know God. So to remain in Jesus is to set him right at the centre of our lives. And I'm conscious that for some of us this lunchtime, that'll be an old and familiar truth, but I hope it'll do us good just to work around it. For some of us, it might seem slightly far-fetched, but I hope we'll get a deeper understanding of why it is such a precious truth to Christians. And what I really want to do is just put out three implications. If the big truth is to know that Jesus is God, I want to put out three implications of that, and these are implications that Jesus himself pulls out. And the first is that to know Jesus is to know the way to the Father. So, John tells us, Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? If you're with us last week, you'll remember that last week we saw this wonderful, wonderful promise where Jesus says he'll lead us to heaven, to his Father's house. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go there to prepare a place for you? And we said that that home, it's our ultimate home. It's the place where we belong, where we're secure, where we know the love of the Father. And now this week, it's as if Thomas says, well, that's all very well, but how do we get there? To which Jesus gives this very famous reply, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. To know Jesus is to know the way to God. Note, Jesus isn't saying, I'll show you the way to God, but I am the way to God. Because it is through him alone, through his death on the cross, that we come into God's presence. I don't know, we might think of sin like a roadblock, maybe some rocks that have fallen onto a road that we're trying to pass through and we can't get through the road because of them. Our sin blocks us off from God's presence. And then Jesus comes, and as he dies on the cross, he takes the penalty for my sin in my place. And now it's as if Jesus drives those rocks out of the way, pushes through the blockage and clears the way for us to come to God. I can't deal with my sin myself. I can't make it right. I can't put amends. I can't stop sinning. But Jesus is the way. Through the cross, he leads me into God's presence. And the reason he can do that is because of who he is. Because he is one with the Father. That's why he can bring us into the presence of the Father. Maybe think about it like this. If I was to say to you, right, this afternoon, after we're done here, we're going to go and we're going to have tea with the Queen together. You might say to me, you're nuts. We can't do that. And why would she let us in? How are we going to get through the gates? You know, there they are, Buckingham Palace. They're not going to let us through. But of course, if I was Prince William and I said to you, we're going to go and have tea with the Queen, well, then you might believe me because that's where I belong. Well, so Jesus says to Thomas, I'm going to take you to my Father's house. And you can imagine the disciples thinking, well, how? Why would God let us in? What about our sin? Well, it's because Jesus is God's Son that he can lead us into the Father's presence, because that is where we belong. Sometimes I think the way Christians describe the cross, it makes it almost sound as if Jesus is a random third party. You know, I've got my sin, it stops me from getting to God, and then along comes Jesus and he deals with it. But of course, the reason Jesus can pay the price for my sin is because he is one with the Father. As he dies, God is somehow taking upon himself the penalty for my sin and establishing justice. As Jesus is raised, he leads me into the Father's presence, precisely because he is one with the Father. And so Jesus says, I'm the way to the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So to know Jesus is to know the way to the Father. We need look no further. There is no other way to God. My sin must be dealt with. I cannot do it myself. If there was another way to the Father, well, do you not think God would have not let his Son be killed on a cross if there was another way? So the way to God is not living an upright life that is good enough for him. but a personal trust in Jesus' forgiveness at the cross. The way to God is not being part of a church community or a work-based Christian group and being recognized as doing my bit, but it's having a personal relationship with Jesus. The way to God is not by knowing my Bible well. Do you know, there were plenty of people around the Jesus day that they knew their Bibles, they were upright, they were part of the religious community, and they were all great things. But they didn't have a personal knowledge of Jesus. The Bible is not an end in itself. We read the Bible that we might know Christ, because he is the way to God. So to know Jesus is central to our hope, because it's to know the Father. And of course, it's in the Father that we find all the fulfillment of the longings and the hopes that we have in this world. All our hopes for the world around us become second place against the freedom that comes from knowing that hope we have in God. So Jesus is our central to our hopes. To know Jesus is to know the way to the Father. But of course, as we live today, we live in a confusing world. We don't just need a hope to inspire. We need truth to live by. And that's the second thing we see here, is that to know Jesus is to know the words of the Father. So Jesus says to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. Again, he's not saying I'm the way to the truth, or I'll help you discern the truth, but he is the truth, because he's one with the Father. If you'd known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So when Philip says, you know, show us the Father, that's enough for us, he's still thinking of Jesus, it seems, as a holy man, like one of the prophets of old, who speaks an aspect of truth. But Jesus is saying, I'm not pointing you to the truth, I am the truth, look no further. And of course, Philip's confusion is very contemporary. We live in a society that often likes to see Jesus as a holy man, who offers some aspect of truth. I suspect that's what many of our colleagues would say. He gives us a window onto God. We like his teaching about morality. Even within the church, some would say, well, Jesus is a source of truth, but we also need to look to reason or tradition or other things. But Jesus is saying, I'm not a way to the truth, I'm the truth. You see it in verse 10, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. So to know Jesus is to know the words of the Father. He reveals the truth. He's one with the Father. I don't know if you remember the chat shows that they used to have with Michael Parkinson. And they say that before he interviewed anyone on his chat show, he would do forensic research into them. He would read all their interviews, all their works, make sure he knew all about their family. He'd know them really well before they walked through the door. But of course, the essence of the show was when they came into the TV studio and they met with Parky and they got chatting and all the rest of it. Well, Jesus does not offer us well-researched insights into God the Father. He is one with the Father. He speaks the very words of God with the authority of God, which means that to listen to Jesus is to listen to the Father. You know, we live in a world of uncertainty, don't we, where there's all sorts of voices telling us where we'll find fulfillment, whom we can and can't listen to, what is and isn't acceptable. And in the midst of that confusion, Jesus just speaks with wonderful authority. We need look no further than him. I wonder what we think it is that we need to be wise. Maybe I think I need to understand people, how people work. Well, Jesus is the one through whom humanity was created. Maybe we think I need a bit of life experience, a CV that shows I've been around the block. Well, Jesus is the eternal Lord of history. Maybe I think I need to understand culture. But Jesus' words transform culture. If wisdom is a gift from God, then he speaks the very words of God. So to know Jesus is to know the words of the Father. And so knowing Jesus is going to be central to our understanding of the world. We'll long to hear from him. That's why it's so good. I mean, I used to love these kind of lunchtime talks in the middle of a busy working day to come and sit and listen to the words of Jesus amidst all that was going on in the working day. Because here is truth, one who speaks with authority. So to know Jesus is to know the words of the Father. But I'm aware that what I'm saying here is controversial, is what Jesus is saying. Because Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And a lot of people in our culture find that very difficult. There's a huge amount we could say about this, and I'll try and leave good time for questions afterwards. Let me just deal with two objections that people sometimes come up with. The first is people say, well, this is profoundly arrogant. What about other religions or people who sincerely believe something else? And the way this is often put is, you may have heard this before, the illustration of the elephant. So there's an emperor and he has some blind servants and he introduces them to an elephant and they've never encountered an elephant before. And they all start to find their way around the elephant. And one goes and takes a hold of the trunk and says, ah, the elephant is like a snake. And another one takes a hold of the tusk and says, ah, the elephant is like a spear. Another one takes a hold of the leg and says, ah, the elephant is like a tree. And the idea is that they all have their different elements of truth and they need to bring them together. And so people say, well, that's the same with the world of religions. Each world religion has its own element of truth. But of course, we have to stop and say, well, why does the story work? It only works because the emperor can see. In that story, who is the emperor? Well, the emperor is the 21st century humanist who says, well, I can see that all religions have an aspect of truth. So here are the world religions all groping around in the darkness. And now people say to us, oh, we can see what centuries of your scholarship hasn't seen, that actually you're all after the same thing. I actually find it quite offensive. I find it deeply arrogant, and it's requiring me to believe that the essence of my faith is not true, that in Jesus I know God. If people will say to me, you only believe in Jesus because you're born in the Christian West, as if Christianity was a Western religion, I think it's fair to say that only somebody born in the West in the last 70 years could be so concerned to give all religions the same respect that they move from that to saying, therefore, we've got to argue that all religions are the same and not see a problem with it. So that's objection number one that I think we get. I think the bigger concern people have, the other objection is, well, isn't this harmful? Aren't you encouraging Christians to sort of force their views on other people? And if you have ever encountered Christians like that, I can only apologize. But it's not the way of Jesus, because think about what we've been saying. If Jesus is the way to the Father, then I don't believe that the way to the Father is anything to do with my culture or my achievements or my way of doing things. So when I try to persuade someone of the truth of Jesus, I'm not forcing my culture upon them. The only thing of me that I bring to Jesus is my sin. By the same token, if I believe that Jesus speaks the words of the Father, then as I try and point someone to Jesus, I'm not trying to sort of persuade them of my ideas or my thought system. I believe that Jesus' words have authority in and of themselves. So I don't need to cajole or persuade or argue. I just present Jesus' words, and I believe that they will have a self-authenticating truth to them. There's much more we could say about this, and we can pick it up in questions afterwards. But the big point is that to know Jesus is to know the words of the Father, which means that he will be central to our understanding of the world. Now, at this point, you may say, well, this all sounds quite theoretical. And I think the third implication here is that to know Jesus is to know the works of the Father. And again, this comes out towards the end of the passage. Jesus says, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. In other words, to know Jesus is to know God, not just in the sort of theory of a textbook, but grounded in history. You know, sometimes, if you go to an art gallery, you see a piece of artwork and you immediately know who the artist is. It's a Salvador Dali or a Picasso, or maybe you turn on the radio and you immediately know the composer. It's got that distinctive feel of Beethoven or Rachmaninoff or Gary Barlow or whoever it is, and you recognize the signature theme. Well, what is the distinctive work of God? It is to create and to heal and to reveal glory and to save. What is it that Jesus does, as we've read through John's Gospel? He creates, turns water into wine. He heals the lame man by the pool. He restores the blind. He's just told us that he'll reveal God's glory on the cross. In other words, the works of the Father show us the character and the purposes of God, and Jesus does those very works. So as I live in this confused world, Jesus doesn't just give me ideas or truths in a textbook, but he shows me what God is doing. I see that God is bringing light in darkness, not just as a concept, but as a reality in history. So people tell me that my faith is a leap in the dark, but it seems to me to be a taking hold of the light. To know Jesus is to know the works of the Father. He's one with the Father. Now, we don't particularly have time to get into this, but it's just worth noticing that he doesn't just call us to watch the works of Jesus. He says that actually after we've gone, we will do the works of Jesus. That great signature theme tune of God's life will become the theme of ours. We will do the works that he does. And that is a wonderful truth, that we see God's agenda and we become a part of it. If in Jesus' agenda, if Jesus' agenda is to bring people to know the saving love of God, then that is our agenda. That's what we're about at the Paddington Talks. It's spreading the good news of Jesus throughout our offices in the Paddington area and beyond. In other words, knowing Jesus isn't just vague ideas. It's an energizing reality that will shape our lives today. So look, where we got to know Jesus is to know the way to the Father, the words of the Father, and the works of the Father. The big truth is to know Jesus is God. And once we've grasped that, then we'll set Jesus at the center of everything, at the center of our hopes, at the center of our understanding of the world, and at the center of the purposes of our lives. That's enough for me. I think I'm keen to leave good time for questions this week. We've got a bit of time now. So I'll take us off the screen share. And if people